Blog Talk Radio.
Nalindilele pakumfwa kamangu kababemba kalila.
Through this song, I remember and celebrate the life of Zambia's unsung heroes. I remember Robinson Puta, Titus Mukupo, Lawrence Katilongu, Michael Chilishe, Patu Simoko, Tim Mvula, Teddy Chilambe, Spock Chola, Brian Chwangu, Godfrey Chitalu, Alex Chola, and the unnamed mothers, daughters, and sisters that have inspired us all for the greater good of this country. So hear me out.
Saturday morning of November the 15th, 2014, and welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio. This is Nathan Nkama. I am your host, and we are getting into a very interesting era of Zambia again to do with a major by-election coming up. As we are all aware, the whole world is aware, Zambia just lost its sitting president who passed on October 28th, and our constitution stipulates that after the president dies, there has to be a by-election within 90 days. And today, we are very privileged and honored to have the public relations manager for the Electoral Commission of Zambia, the institution organization mandated with facilitating and arranging for elections in Zambia. Mr. Chris Akufuna is joining us from Lusaka. Mr. Akufuna, good evening and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good evening out there, or is it good morning? And we are happy that you invited us to Zambia Blog Talk Radio.
Excellent. Thank you. For us in North America, it's morning. In Europe, I think it's early afternoon. And I think in Australia, they're about to go to sleep. Mr. Akufuna, let me begin by making this statement and just give me a general response or overview. Would you agree or say that the past 2-3 years have been the busiest and probably in which you have conducted the most by-elections in the history of the Electoral Commission of Zambia?
Yes, it is actually true that since 2011, this, I think, over the years, well, at least from the time I joined, has been the busiest of time, because we have conducted over 20 by-elections at parliamentary and local government level. So for the commission, from 2011, it hasn't been easy. It's been a by-election after by-election. And it is for that reason that the commission ended up suspending even the continuous voter registration in December 2012 because of the many by-elections. Even as we speak, we still have three constituencies not yet determined. They are in the courts of law. These are Molovezi, Malambo and Petauke. So we are still waiting for the court to determine B. And I'm aware that there should be a few others that are still remaining in the hands of the court before they are cleared. And now coming to this presidential, what you are calling presidential by-election. I just wanted actually to comment on that one, because the Constitution is what guides us in terms of what type of election we have. And the Constitution of Zambia provides for, that is Article 38 and indeed Article 39, they talk about an election to the office of the president once there is a vacancy in that office. It does not talk about a by-election. So at the presidential level, what we have is a presidential election, not a presidential by-election. Much as I know people, even our leaders, refer to anything that happens between general elections as by-election. But at the presidential level, really, it is a presidential election.
Okay, thanks for that clarification, Mr. Kufuna. I think everybody can confess that we've learned something new here. All right, here is the, of course, this is what does it entail then to conduct, now you're making me find my ways to use this language, what does it entail to conduct a presidential election in the middle of a term of a sitting president who has died? What does it entail?
It is a challenge, and a big challenge for that matter. But fortunately for the commission, the attitude and perhaps the posture of the chairperson and indeed members to the staff has been, let's treat each day as if tomorrow there will be elections. And because of that, we are kind of, prepared mentally to say we may have elections anytime, meaning that in terms of materials, in terms of logistics, in terms of the necessary paraphernalia that go with such elections are usually at hand. We prepare, we try as much as possible to have as much material. But we see when you have a presidential election, which takes place in all the 6,456 polling stations, it means it's as good as a general election because you are covering the whole country. So it, in terms of logistics, it is a nightmare. You have to ensure that these materials, the ballot boxes, fortunately we already have the ballot boxes and we don't need to procure that. They have to reach all the districts. And this is an exercise we should be embarking on very shortly. We have to start looking at the recruitment of personnel. And we look at personnel at all levels, from the district electoral officer, who are, as you may know, are the town clerks and council secretaries in the various districts. We have to have briefings with them. We have to have trainings with them. We also have to look at the constituency level, the returning officers and their assistants. And then we go to the polling station level. We look at the presiding officers and the polling assistants. And all these have to be put in place. And this is what we are going into. Ordinarily, the commission needs not less than 2 years to prepare for a general election. But when you have a snap election like this one, really, there are shortcuts. There are certain things that we ordinarily would do, but we can't do in a case like this one.
Mr. Kufuna, when the Constitution says within 90 days there has to be a presidential election, you can tell that I'm avoiding very much to say by-election.
Thank you.
Since you just educated us on that, there's no such thing as presidential by-election. The pertinent question
to our Constitution.
Yes. When is the date or 90 days determined? Is it from the death of the incumbent president, or ECZ decides, or is it cabinet? How is the 90-day period determined when the next election should be?
Okay. I think to get clarity on that one, I will read Article 38, Section 1 of the Constitution of Zambia.
Okay.
It states, if the office of the president becomes vacant by reason of his death or resignation, or by reason of his ceasing to hold office by virtue of Article 36, 37, or 88, an election to the office of the president shall be held in accordance with Article 34 within 90 days from the date of the office becoming vacant. So in this case, from the day of the office becoming vacant, we ask ourselves, when did our Republican president die? And from that day on, we say the office has been vacant. And from where the commission is, we have looked at that day, and in our count, we have determined that the 90 days ends on 26 January 2015. So it means that within this period, the commission has to conduct elections, bearing in mind that there was a period of mourning. As things stand, I think we are at somewhere about 70, slightly above 70 days remaining. So within this period, we should have elections.
That's interesting. Okay, we're glad that you made that clarification. For interest's sake, what is a typical budget for give us some idea what a typical budget for a constituency by-election is, and what is the budget for this presidential election? Because of course we read through media and news reports that the Electoral Commission has presented a provisional budget to cabinet. Please discuss with us what type of figures we're talking about here.
Okay, at the constituency level, especially if you look at it from, parliamentary and local government, it varies in terms of how much the by-election will cost, because the cost really is based on the size of a constituency. A minimum, perhaps, if you have a small constituency, we would be talking about maybe what we now refer to as 1 million kwacha, which I think before the currency change was about a billion or so. That is for a small constituency. And the maximum would be somewhere about perhaps 3 to 3.5 billion. That is at the constituency level. And usually, when we budget, we look at how many polling stations are in a particular constituency. And then when you look at the number of polling stations, then you look at how many officers do we need. Now, as you may know, the bulk of our budget is really personnel. This exercise is really kind of, for lack of a better term, labor-intensive. We depend more on officers, on people that work at this polling station to conduct elections. So you find that when we put that together in terms of personnel, then you look at other logistics, the materials, the transport, and the like, that's what makes it reach that figure. So that is at the constituency level. Now, when you talk about the presidential election, in this case, what makes it peculiar again is that it's going to be in all parts of the country and in all the 6,456 polling stations. So meaning that we look at then a minimum of the polling station, maybe 5 officers per polling station. And then you look at what goes with that. There is the training component. There is the briefing component. There is the delivery of materials and all those things. And then there is policing of the polling station, where we ask the police to include us, because we have to provide for that in our budget. So that is what makes the budget big. Yes, the commission did prepare a budget, which budget, in as far as we are concerned, we are still consulting with government. We have presented what we think is going to cost. We also have had cooperating partners kind of coming in to indicate that they are willing to support us, and we are in discussion with them. We have not yet concluded our discussion, and there are some components, some areas that will be funded by the cooperating partners through the United Nations Development Program, there is a basket fund that they usually will organize. There are some cooperative partners that have come directly to the commission to say we are able to assist in these areas. So as of now, I cannot tell how much the cooperative partners will support, because it's really a matter that is under discussion. And once we've concluded and agreed, then we'll be able to say government then will fund this much, and then the rest will go to cooperative partners. But ordinarily, government funds the bulk of the budget.
Okay. That leads me to my next question, Mr. Kufuna. We'll use the term cooperating partners, as you put it. Let me point out or be specific. When Britain, of course, has come out and said they would like to help, China has also indicated. Normally, when you have, let's focus on Britain and China, when you have cooperating partners like countries like that say they would like to help, normally, what aspects of the budget do they cover?
It is mainly things to do with the voters themselves. It's mainly in the area of voter education, publicity, and perhaps conflict management. So usually it's in those areas that they will go into. I think, if I remember correctly, it's only in 2011 or no, 2006, I remember UNDP helped the commission acquire the current ballot boxes that we are using. But ordinarily, mm-hmm. when cooperating partners want to assist, it's in the area of really voter sensitization and educating the voters.
Excellent. You are listening to our special feature on Zambia Block Talk Radio. We are speaking to Mr. Chris Akufuna, the Public Relations Manager for the Electoral Commission of Zambia, and we are discussing the upcoming presidential election, which should be in January. Those of you that would like to ask your questions, you can post them on our Facebook page, Zambia Block Talk Radio, or Twitter, or you can simply send them whichever way you see fit, and we'll read your question to Mr. Akufuna when we come to that point. Mr. Kufuna, let me come to the issue of printing of ballot papers, which has been a contentious issue, especially in, let's use the word, normal general elections. You know, this issue always comes up. No, the ballot should be printed in Zambia, and we've been singing this song for a long time. I believe, looking at records, the last time, I don't know, you can correct me, you used universal printing, is this in South Africa. Where is the commission, in collaboration with government, on this position of printing of ballot papers?
I beg your pardon, the last part of your question?
I'm saying, where does the commission, in relationship or in collaboration with the government, stand on this issue of printing of ballot papers?
Okay. I think there is need to understand the context of this aspect of printing of the ballot papers. What the commission has done is to come up with specifications. And these specifications are what guides the commission in terms of who it is going to engage to print ballot papers. The specifications have, I think, various requirements, but critical among them is the security of the ballot paper. And the ballot paper itself has some security features which the commission really kind of, perhaps for lack of a better term, treasures, or rather keeps, because that is one assurance that we have that our ballot paper cannot be reproduced. So okay. There are some embedded security features in our ballot paper that ordinarily we would want to have, and these we don't will not usually disclose. And then there is also whoever is going to be our printer, we want to look the environment that is available, that is obtaining in that particular printer, and how secure is that the premises of the printer. All those are factors that we look at. And then when you now go back to the ballot paper, we also want to say on our ballot papers, we've reached a stage where now we are able to put the portrait of the candidate. We would like to have those things on the ballot papers. Now, those factors and other factors that we look at, for instance, audit trail, that is now when packaging the ballot papers, they are packed the polling station so that from the printer, there is nothing like they stop in Lusaka and then that's when we start sorting them out to go. No, they are packaged the polling station. All that we do in Lusaka is to verify. So it's those specifications at the end of the day that we expect any service provider who has capacity to print ballot papers to provide. And if a printer, whether from Zambia and indeed from anywhere else, does not have this, does not have capacity to meet our specifications, then we do not use such a printer. And it is for that reason that the Commission in 2006, 2008, and indeed at 2011 has been using printers outside the country. So really that is the reason why the Commission has been using printers outside the country. It's a question of meeting our specifications. The most important thing here and the cardinal thing to understand is that we do not want to compromise on the security of the ballot paper. And so the Commission would want to engage a printer who will assure, and even the Commission should be satisfied that they will meet our security requirements.
Very important points that you have raised, Mr. Kufuna, and well appreciated. During the November 2011 by-election in Chongwe, Magoi, and Nakonde, late President Michael Sata made a statement and said this will be the last time that the ballot papers will be printed outside of Zambia. Would you say that is going to be the situation? What did the PF government work towards making that happen?
Yes, I acknowledge the fact that the Republican president then made that pronouncement. And it was the desire of government to see to it that we print ballot papers locally. I must also perhaps restate here that it is actually the desire of the Electoral Commission of Zambia to print ballot papers locally. Now, the situation is what dictates the course the Commission will take. And when we talk about the situation, I'm referring to our situation in Zambia. What if you remember perhaps the 1996 or 2001 election, the ballot papers were printed at government printers. And I think that was the last time that government printers printed these ballot papers. But the observations and the kind of post-election reviews that most of the challenges that we faced in that election when we had these ballot papers printed here were really to do with, one, security, and also capacity of the government printers to print ballot papers. But much more, the Commission has gone on to enhance on the features of the ballot paper. So these factors were brought to the attention of the president, having made that statement. And we put it to the president that this is our situation and this is our predicament, why perhaps we cannot use government printers. And it is for that reason that government then resolved to explore possibilities of equipping the government printing department with the necessary equipment, with the necessary security requirements. And I want to believe that this process is still ongoing as we speak. So I think immediately government printers indicate, or indeed any printer in Zambia indicates that they have the capacity and they can meet all the requirements that the Commissioner need to print a ballot paper, the commission will go that way, bearing in mind that stakeholders, especially political parties, should buy into that idea. And in most cases, most of our decisions that we make, we do not make the decisions alone as a commission. We realize the critical role of stakeholders. We involve stakeholders. They will come and sit with the commission, and they will have a say. And at the end of the day, we arrive at an amicable decision together.
Okay. Since we have the issue of ballot papers, Mr. Kufuna, let me read a question for you from one of our friends in Boston, Teresa. She's saying, of course, this is a today's technological age. Okay. Do you think the Zambian public are ready for electronic voting, and will they be comfortable with it regarding, as it will help with the issue of transparency?
Yes, I want to say that the issue of electronic voting, or indeed using technology in elections, is one issue that we are still grappling with. And there is a lot of apprehension, especially given perhaps the level of appreciation of technology in this country. So for a lot of, I think, people in urban centers, they would agree to using technology. But for, I think, some people, especially maybe in the hinterland, they still suspect technology. They are not too sure whether to trust technology, because they perhaps do not understand it well. And there are people who perhaps will even go to the extent of saying, and I will make a reference to the 2011 election, when we were printing a ballot paper, there was talk that, you know, this ballot paper that the commission is printing and the pens that they are using, when you mark it, the X that you mark will move to a certain candidate. Now, that was a widely held view. And, you know, we had to grapple with that view to prove to the people. Even when we were printing the ballot papers in Durban, we had to do an exercise where we got the paper and showed and demonstrated that, look, this thing cannot move. And the stakeholders then in Durban agreed that indeed it couldn't move. We came back here, it was a big issue in Zambia, to say, you know, do not use the pen that the commission gives you, because that pen, the ink that is there, kind of moves. Now, that is the paper. Now, what about technology, where you press a button? There are people who have, especially when we meet stakeholders, the political parties, they agree to the use of technology. And I can talk about 2006, when we introduced the use of a wide area network to link the commission headquarters and the district centers. It was accepted in our meetings. On the critical day, a day before elections, they turned around and rejected the system. And questions started saying, what system is this? Who brought it? Is it the Chinese? No, we don't trust it. We, you know, so all sorts of issues came up. So what I can say about appreciation of technology and indeed the development of technology in this country, especially in relationship elections, it's still very low. And therefore, for us to introduce electronic voting, it's something that has to have buy-in from our stakeholders, and people have to understand perhaps what this really means. When you press a button, can they trust that what they press is what comes out at the end of the day? I think that is the issue really that we have. And for that reason, that the commission is trading rather cautiously in going in that direction. Recently, the commission piloted, and we are still piloting, a system where we would like to transmit election results from the polling station electronically in all the 6,456 polling stations. And the commission decided to pilot this idea through these recent by-elections in Kasenengwa and if I remember correctly, it should have been Kasenengwa and these recent by-elections, not Mukaita. But what happened was we discussed here with political parties to say we're going to carry out this thing, but come towards elections, then there was an issue. We are not going to accept this system. And yet we are only piloting, meaning that we are running this electronic system side by side with the usual manual system that we use. So all that I'm trying to say here is the levels of appreciation of technology and indeed the growth of technology in Zambia in the urban centers is all right. But in the rural centers, I think we still have challenges in that area, and it's something that we have to keep working on. But we appreciate and acknowledge the fact that the world is going electronic. I mean, just next door here in Namibia, they'll be going to the polls, and they'll be using electronic voting. So we're working that space as well and see how it will be accepted, and perhaps we can learn lessons from there.
Excellent. You will agree, Mr. Kufuna, that the Zambians living abroad or in the diaspora, the population or numbers are increasing. How close are we, or has this been coming up in your discussions about including Zambians to vote from abroad? Is it, you call it absentee ballots, working through embassies and consulates? Are there any plans in that direction?
Yes, there are what I may call, we haven't reached the planning level yet. We are still discussing, but discussing in the sense that the Commission firstly would like to perhaps have buy-in of stakeholders in terms of how this is going to be done. I think the main reason why the Commission has not been able to allow Zambians in the diaspora vote is simply because we have not worked out a foolproof system that will win the stakeholders' desire to, you know, to have Zambians in the diaspora vote in an election. Now, what system are we talking about? It's question. I mean, it has to do with where then do we hold these elections? If it's at the embassy, who are at the embassy? These are Zambian officials. These are Zambians that are working perhaps in a particular area or in a particular country. And the next question that comes up is, and this has to do with perhaps confidence in the electoral process, is can we trust these Zambians? Who are they? They are civil servants. Are these civil servants employed by who? By the government. Which government is being ruled by who? By the ruling party. Which ruling party is participating in these elections and they have an interest in it? Can we then trust them? Those are the issues that arise every time we go through that discussion to allow Zambians in the diaspora vote. So, other countries have done it, and we realize that, I mean, even in South Africa, recently they invited us to witness their voting here at the High Commission in Lusaka, and it's good. We should do that. But I think it's something that, again, we need to agree with stakeholders. Right now, you see, the negative perceptions to do with the elections, and indeed the negative perceptions linking the Commission to the ruling government or to the party in power is perhaps what really kind of gives the Commission challenges in kind of going the direction of allowing Zambian diaspora to vote. But we are hoping that with time we should be able to come up with a system that will be accepted by all stakeholders. I think stakeholder confidence for us is critical, and therefore, even when we want to do something, as long as stakeholders view it negatively, usually we will spare it until we kind of find a way which is agreeable to all stakeholders. But we realize that the vote of the Zambians in the diaspora is critical, and maybe something that we need to work on to ensure that Zambians can vote in all parts of the world.
You are very right, Mr. Kufuna. I mean, stakeholder confidence and the negative perception of Electoral Commission are being linked to every ruling party that comes into government. That's a very difficult one to really. I think it's got to do with even our mindset and perceptions of how we do our politics. Those that have called in and everybody listening, we are talking to Mr. Chris Akufuna, Public Relations Manager at Electoral Commission of Zambia. We are discussing elections and the upcoming presidential election. If you would like to ask a question and you've called him, press 1 on your phone keypad so that I know that you want to ask a question. Let me read 2 or 3 questions from social media, Akufuna, and then we go to the phone lines.
You talked about security of ballot papers. One of the security concerns my colleague, Mr. Kabandama from California, is asking is that how prepared and how, what sort of protection or security does the commission provide at polling stations for your staff and even for the voters from the phenomenon of organized street thugs and political cadres?
If I understand the question, it's how prepared is the commission to provide security at the polling station?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. From, you know, from political thugs and cadres to harm, either to create confusion with personnel or staff and even their voters.
Okay. Yes. The commission works with state, let me say, with agencies of the state that have the mandate or indeed responsibility to maintain law and order. And in this case, it is the Zambia Police. We are already planning to meet the Zambia Police to look at their needs in terms of policing these elections. What normally happens is that in every polling station, we will have an officer or two who will man the polling station. And we usually will have other officers that will be kind of providing backup security in a particular area. So they'll be going around from polling station to polling station, just checking and ensuring that things are in order. So that is what we've done in the past, and it has worked well. And even in this election, that is what we intend to do. So we work with the Zambia Police to provide security at the polling station. And hopefully that we won't have in this election any SADs or indeed cadres harassing our officers. But I must say, when you have the general election, bearing in mind that we have 6,456 polling stations, it means you need at least one officer per polling station. So when you look at again our numbers in terms of how many officers do we have in this country and how many can policies, we also tend to have some challenges. And in some areas, we will go a little further to look at which other maybe security wings can we work with. But mainly it's the Zambia Police. And when we are under pressure, then that's when maybe we'll resort to using the officers, the district council police officers at every respective district council. So really, we work with Zambia Police. As you know, it's their mandate to conduct, to maintain law and order, and the commission's mandate is simply to conduct elections, and we won't go into providing security and the like.
Okay, thank you. The next question is from Zambia. This person is saying, and I quote, the ECZ does not inspire confidence because all political parties flaunt the electoral code of conduct with impunity and get away with it. How is ECZ addressing this?
Okay. The question should be, what is the commission... what is the mandate of the commission in as far as perhaps providing law and order? I think rather guaranteeing law and order during elections. What the commission will do is work with the Zambia Police. The political parties, we speak to them, and the political parties, we also make them, at the time of nomination, every aspiring political party will sign a form called EC1, which basically is a form that binds a particular political party to abide by the provisions of the Electoral Code of Conduct. So a political party, the aspiring candidate, and indeed the followers, are bound by the Electoral Code of Conduct by so signing. And so, having done that, when they go into the campaigns, we still continue with their sensitization for the need to maintain law and order. Now, when a political party, or indeed when supporters of a particular political party, violate the electoral code of conduct, the law, which is, again, the same law that we depend on, limit the commission in terms of what it can do to maintain law and order. So when my brother talks about if it does not inspire confidence, it is basically because the commission can only go to a certain extent to apply any sanctions to violating a political party or indeed cadres. As things stand today, the commission can only do perhaps three things. One is to censure, two is to caution, three is to advise political parties to desist from carrying out malpractice or indeed engaging in violence. Apart from that, the law does not give the commission any other power to penalize a political party or indeed a candidate who engages in violence and the like. So when my brother says, if there's a dent, inspire confidence, for me, I think it's the ball that I would rather throw back to the Zambians. When we constitute, or indeed when we start preparing our laws, and when we make the constitution, these are certain things that we need to add in our constitution. The commission has been carrying out a lobby for the last 1 year or two on the need for it to have powers to actually punish political parties. We have made several statements. You can check them. I think the chairperson has been speaking about it. We have been speaking about it for quite a while, that we need to have power to punish political parties that violate the electoral code of conduct, or indeed punish the aspiring candidates who violate the code of conduct. And this is what we have been lobbying for, and we hope that in due course we'll get those powers. But you see, it needs amendments to the law. You can only go as far as you are allowed to, and what the commission is allowed to currently is censure, advise, caution, and that is what I can say. So, my brother, I agree with you in terms of the commission needing more clout. Yes, I agree. We need more clout. And all that we do currently, as things stand, is simply to appeal to all players in the electoral process to ensure that they abide by the electoral code of conduct. But even with that, we have tried, I want to confidently say, we have really tried using our conflict management committees in all the districts to resolve conflicts and minimize conflicts as they arise in the district. Because we use a mediation approach, where all parties in an issue or in a complaint sit together and agree and then come up with a position which is acceptable to all. And it has helped to some extent.
Excellent. Thank you for that response, Mr. Kufuna, and everybody posting in the questions. We appreciate you. Let's take a few questions from the phone lines as we wind up the discussion here. Area code 8057469, your name, where you're calling from?
Mr. Nkama, this is Intei calling from California.
Go ahead, Intei.
I want to expand on an earlier question for Mr. Akufuna. I asked about, or I described this new phenomenon of organized street thugs posing as political cadres. This is a new phenomenon we're seeing in Zambia. These people are organized. They have cell phones. They have buses. They travel all over the country. They're usually faceless, and they get away with a lot of crime. Is there any way that when these people are caught by the law, that their right to vote can be rescinded or removed? We never hear of the names of these people. We just hear of the effects that they cause, to the effect where they are threatening political appointees, government appointees, civil servants. Tomorrow they can be at Mr. Kufuna's office to threaten to. And we never hear of the repercussions that these people have to face. So I want to ask Mr. Kufuna, is there any way, I mean, I know it's not in his power, but maybe in the future, can these people be arrested and their right to vote removed? Thank you.
Can I go ahead?
Yes, Mr. Kufuna, please respond.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. in as far as organized SAG are concerned, the commission can only appeal to the Zambia police to ensure that they arrest the perpetrators of such behavior, conduct, and indeed violence. But what the commission has done in cases where it has evidence of individuals who are registered voters who perhaps get involved in malpractice is when such persons are known. And I refer to a case in a recent case in Kapirimposhi, where a certain person was found engaging in malpractice, selling and buying voters' cards. That person, having been caught and having been prosecuted, the commission blacks out that person. And that person, as we speak, has been blacked out and not to participate in elections for 5 years. That one is within the commission's power and we can deal with. But for those that, for conduct that border on criminality, that border on violence, the commission, I'm afraid, is not able to do much apart from appealing to the Zambia police to ensure that such perpetrators are caged and indeed are dealt with. Otherwise, that is as far as the commission can go. But I want to state here that, you see, there is need for goodwill, I think. And in most cases, goodwill has to do with political, I think, from the powers that be in our leaders. Most of cases that are reported in terms of street thugs, sometimes, and unfortunately, you find have been linked to the cadres either of the leading political party, which is perhaps the party in government, or the next party, which is like maybe the main opposition party. And so you find that when it comes to dealing with these thugs from the various political parties that are engaging in violence, sometimes you get the feeling that maybe there is selective application of the law. And this is the topical issue that I've seen in this country, the issue of Public Order Act and how it is applied to political parties and indeed their followers is the one thing that has been discussed. But the commission has usually urged and worked with the police to say, please, can we ensure that such perpetrators, especially during elections, should be arrested when they are known and they should be prosecuted.
Excellent. Okay, let's take another question. Dr. Munsanje, please go ahead. Tell Mr. Kufuna where you are calling from and your question.
I'm calling from Pennsylvania. Mr. Akufuna, we will know that one of his employees is exactly my name, Elliot Munsanje. That is my nephew, named after me. I have a very simple question. You know about rigging in Africa has been known, where the usually the ruling government can rig elections. We hear of cases of rigging. Now, the direct question to you, Mr. Akufuna, is how can have you made sure, or how can you ensure that there is no rigging at all, that the people of Zambia are confident that whoever will become president has met the standards and gotten the votes of the majority of Zambians? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Munsanje. The issue of rigging for the commission presents an opportunity to demonstrate its transparency, how accountable it is to the public. What the commission has done to ensure that we minimize on the accusation of rigging. And by the way, when people talk about rigging, ask them what they mean, especially in our circles around here. You find they have problems even explaining what they mean because they don't understand it. They just make a blanket accusation. But what we understand is that the commission doctors or manipulates or indeed cooks figures during the electoral process. So what the commission has done, having seen that as an opportunity, is to involve stakeholders in all our processes, from the consultative stages, even before we prepare for an election, like now. Next week, the commission will be meeting political parties from all political parties, not just the leading political parties. We have about over 40 political parties. The commission meets them here in Lusaka. We will discuss with them our plans and the costs we are taking in conducting this presidential election. We will discuss contentious issues. We will present to them the roadmap, and they will perhaps make their responses. And if they have any issues, we kind of agree with them. We go further in terms of briefing our stakeholders of what we do. So we engage stakeholders in a nutshell to tell them what the commission is doing, what it intends to do, and how it intends to do what it wants to do. Having done that, the commission, which is the most critical stage, at the result center, or rather, before I get to the result center, at the polling station, when polls close, at the end of voting, at 18 hours, when the polls close, the commission ensures that all observers, monitors, and political party agents that are present remain in the polling station to not count the ballot papers. And they sit there with them. They will do the count. They will witness everything else. And at the end of it all, they sign the result sheet that has been prepared at the commission. And when those results are announced and the observers, monitors, and agents have signed the result sheet, they transfer the results on a bigger paper, which is then pasted outside the polling station, so that the results of the polling station are then in the public domain. The media are then allowed to collect those results. All that is done in the name of transparency. Having done that, those results are then sent to the totaling center. And the totaling center is like the constituency center in a particular constituency, where all results from polling stations in that constituency are sent. Now, at the totaling center, we also have stakeholders. These are civil society, political parties, and the like. They will sit there and witness the whole process. And again, when the results have been announced and the winners are declared at the parliamentary level or announced at the presidential level, again, the witnesses will sign the result sheet. So we do all these things in the full view of stakeholders. Having done that, then the results are sent to the main results center in Lusaka, which is usually hosted by Mulungushi International Conference Center. At the Mulungushi International Conference Center, the bulk of the people that are there are observers and political party agents who represent the various political party interests. And when results arrive, the political parties are, and in the past, when we were using the manual system, are given the hard copies of the results where they witness. And then the political parties will pick those results and then go and verify the results with their agents in the respective districts, in the field, in the polling stations, and the like. And so when they are satisfied with the results that have been announced and indeed that have been received, then we proceed. And that is what happens to the commission. And that happens simply because we want to ensure that people have confidence in the process, and to also assure them that there is no space for the commission to manipulate or indeed change their results. If there is a mistake that is made at the polling station, what we expect is that the stakeholders, the political party agents, the observers and monitors that are present at that polling station will ensure that they correct that. That's why the commissioner is saying that if there has to be a recount in an election, it should take place at the polling station. Because once you have counting at the polling station, you have added up the total. The next thing that should happen, the only time that that ballot box will be opened is when there is a petition in the court. So really, the commission has made taken those steps to ensure that there is full transparency in the whole process, and the commission remains accountable to the Zambian people.
Excellent.
Well answered. Well, we've run out of time. Two quick questions, Mr. Kufuna, and then I'll let somebody wants to say something to you, personal message. If you can address these two questions and 90 minutes, seconds or so, what major changes or improvements should we expect to the current system in the 2016 elections, and when does the next voter registration commence?
Thank you. Major changes in the next election, perhaps not in this snap election, the 2015 election. We expect that in this election, almost everything that we used in 2011 remains as it is, because we couldn't conduct a voter registration. So we are using the voter register that was used in 2011 with additions of the people that registered after the 2011 elections at our voter education center in the showgrounds. Now,
okay.
The major changes, we now have, as we go into this election, the commission now has a voter education center in the showgrounds, which is open 24 hours, at least in all the five working days, Monday to Friday. Any interested stakeholder voter can walk in there. You want to ask questions, you want clarity about issues, we have provided a center where people can just walk in and ask questions. Of course, our offices here at the Electoral Commission of Zambia are open throughout the week, and we are again available to answer that. But the major change which the commission would like to effect in the 2016 poll has to do with the transmission of results from the polling station. Instead of transmitting results from the polling station to the constituency center, what the commission has been piloting over the last few months, if not a year, is to transmit results from the polling station to the Electoral Commission headquarters. And in our experiment, in our piloting, we discovered that we cut down on time. In most cases, actually, let me say, like in the recent one in Kasenengwa and Bugwe, we were able to receive results by somewhere about 20 hours or so after the close of the polling station at 18 hours. Then we received the results at 20 hours. Whereas when you use the manual system, we were receiving the results somewhere about midnight, meaning that
this
is the way to go. So is the change that the commission envisages to introduce in the 2016 poll. And this is the change that the commission is still working at sensitizing the political parties so that they accept the electronic transmission of results from the polling station to the Electoral Commission headquarters. And that way, we think we can be within the current expectation of the public, which is for 8 hours after voting, to announce results. We think that if we use this system, we should be able to announce results perhaps even much quicker.
Okay, Mr. Afuna, I have somebody here who has something to say.
Another
to you.
Question.
Canavesa, go ahead.
Was it the question of, apart from the major changes, there was the question of...
When does the next voter registration commence? You can just give us a date or a time frame.
Oh, yes. The next voter... We are going to carry out voter registration next year, 2015, after this election. The plan was to have them mid-year, but because of these elections, it means we'll have to move them a little later. But it should be somewhere in the third quarter or so of the year.
Okay.
So, yes, we will definitely have voter registration next year.
Go ahead, Ganaves.
My name is Joshua Ngoma. I'm calling from Chicago, Illinois. I'd like to, on behalf of the other listeners today that tuned in, I'd like to thank Mr. Akfuna for enlightening us about the work that they are doing as ECZ. And I think that his work as publicity chair has made the process quite transparent in terms of understanding it, because I think they are bringing out a whole lot of information that we needed. But on a personal note, sir, you used to be my teacher of English at Chikola Secondary School in 1983. And you were also my debate coach, and I would like to thank you for that too. Thank you very much.
I'm so thankful, Joshua, and I'm struggling to remember Joshua Ngoma. I'm trying to make the house the same, but you touched me, and I thank you, and I wish you well out there in Illinois. God bless.
Thank you, sir.
Kufuna, we thank you for taking the time, driving all the way from Lusaka West to come and talk to us. Thank you, sir, and we wish you the best.
I wish you the best, and I pray for you, and I pray for Zambia, and I look forward to the day we are going to have Zambians in the diaspora participate in our elections.
Excellent. Please tell Mrs. Isaacs I said hello.
I will tell her. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Rabbi, thanks, everybody. Join us next week again.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Kulila misozi nikayanga na banja latu kupadwa tinabadwa mushe koma lelo lipazulika nikale tinakalapo kondwela lelo heka tutikumbukila kweta chokela amai kubutika mutima koma zoji tazisoa nimaona misozi masomwake nimafuto abale nimafuto. Kuipirendi kuchitoko na mumufolo hama mainei njiwanda zota nizi taeza talema na yuma pempelo atika pena siku linda.